Proverbs chapter 11. This is episode 316 of Proverbs Every Day. I'm your host, DJ Eshelman, and today we're going to be reading from the modern English version of the Bible. So it's a good day. Let me pray for you. We'll get started. Father God, thank you so much for another day. Now, thank you for the productivity that we have. Thank you for the motivation that you give us. We ask this morning that you would fill our hearts with gladness and openness to hear the words that you have for us today. Lord, as we read through this collection of Proverbs, I ask that if any stand out to me, that I highlight them, or if there's a calling on anyone else out there, that I highlight this for them on their behalf. But Father, also, I just pray that as we go throughout our day, that you will bring these words to our remembrance and cause them to be highlighted in our heart. Father, we love you and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time for our beautiful theme song. All right, Proverbs 11, reading through the modern English version translation of the Bible. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. We've kind of talked about this a little bit before, but the concept here is that we have pride in the way of wisdom. Shame is what the result of that is. So it takes humility first for us as humans to embrace wisdom. It's just the way we are. It's not necessarily a flaw in design. It is just a way for us to recognize the value of that. And so we have to be humble first. We can't go into this saying, I know a lot, I want to learn more. That's not really what this is about. It's really, you know what? I need guidance. I need reproof. I need all of these things to guide me. And so that is why we come with humility first, and then comes wisdom. Hope that makes sense. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the upright will direct his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but transgressors will be taken by their schemes. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of unjust men perishes. Thought I was seeing something there that I should highlight, but I'm not sure. I think it's really this righteousness of the upright will deliver them. I think sometimes we wonder what the formula is, and you know what's the magic pill, I guess you could say, or what's the right combination of things to do. You know, when Jesus was, you know, walking along, God asked, you know, okay, teacher, what should we do to gain into the kingdom? You know, that these kind of questions. And it boils down to righteousness, doesn't it? It is that wanting to live right and doing so, not just talking about it or expecting others to do it, or treating And this is, there are a lot of different things. I mean, my philosophy on this is to go a lot wider than just this. I actually take this into what I would call a true conservative nature, where I always want to use the least amount that I can. It's part of my background growing up. I spent my kind of formative and teenage years in a house with no electricity, no running water. And so my perspective is a little bit different about these kind of things, but it's a very similar kind of notion when it comes to living in righteousness. It's a practice that we have. It's not something where we just get it on Sunday mornings, check the box, and then go about our day. It is that living in righteousness that is that delivery from all of the things that are happening to us. You know, that is the pathway. Now, is it all always the same? Does it always look the same? Is it instantaneous? No. But it is that willingness to try, and that conviction to be in that orientation all the time. That's really the key. So anyway. Verse 8. The righteous is delivered out of trouble. There you go. And the wicked comes in his place. Yeah, right on. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the just will be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Joyful shouts, that sort of thing, I think is what that's referring to. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Verse 12. He who is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And again, I think some things to note with this, we tend to think individually on this, you know, where there's no counsel, you know, the person leader falls, but along with that, people fall as well. And so it's a larger impact than just one person failing. And that's what needs to be known here, is that if you don't have a council, if you don't have people that you are doing life with, yes, but that are there specifically to hold you accountable, to advise you, that kind of counsel, then the risks of you having damages that go far beyond yourself is much, much greater. And so that's why it says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Verse 15, he who puts up a pledge for a stranger will suffer for it. And he who hates being in a pledge is secure. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good to his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own body. The wicked works a deceitful work, but to him who sows righteousness will be a sure reward. We've been going through a period of trial with our church's school, and it's come up in prayerful consideration that it is a time of sifting. But along with that, it's also a time of sowing. You know, it's not time for the harvest yet. It is time for sowing and sifting. And it is very interesting to have those words. But when we say sows righteousness. I think there is, obviously we're talking, you know, kind of agricultural language here, but in our practical lives, you know, especially for me right now, knowing that I am in a time of sowing, you know, what you really want is the reward, and what you really feel like you need to have right away is the reward. But it is important to stay the course and make sure you're sowing the right kind of things. Otherwise, your reward will not be A, as good, B, as plentiful. And so there's a quality thing and a quantity thing. For me, I'll give you an example. So let's say that I decide to go back into doing consulting work. And, you know, it's very lucrative to a degree. But honestly, it is not the kind of quality that I'm wanting right now. What I want to do and what I'm sowing is being the person who teaches others how to do things like lead, to get into even consulting work, for example. But having those growth mindsets and helping them in that, that's really where my heart and my passion is. And so if I don't stay the course with that, then what is sown there will not come to fruition. It won't come to harvest, and I'll be stuck with what I always had. And so I won't be moving forward. And so is it tough? Trust me, it is very tough. Finding the right people to get referrals, to get me into their companies, to talk and introduce myself and, you know, see what we can do together is a process that I don't think truly prepared for. But that is the sowing that is on my life right now, is to put those out there. And so, and frustratingly, rely on others to help me succeed, which is hard for a guy like me. You know, I'm very bootstrappy. And so, it is hard sometimes to think about, you know, that being part of a sure reward, but, yeah, there it is. It's just part of my life now. As long as there's no deceit, that's the main thing here. Verse 19, as righteousness tends to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. So I'm a perverse heart or an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Okay. No likey. I have to be completely honest. I have not been enjoying this translation as much. I find it might be fine to just read visually, but reading out loud, this has been more frustrating than I was hoping it would be. It's okay. This is how we learn, how we get exposed to other translations and other ways to let spirit work through us. 21. Though be assured, the wicked will not be unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman who is without discretion. Couple of those come to mind. In any case, 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters yet increases, and there's one who withholds more than is right but leads to poverty. I think that's referring to what I'm talking about as far as the scatters. It is, I guess what is speaking to me in this moment is just exactly what I was just talking about. It is really, really hard for me to be a person that is, you know, picking up the phone and telling other people what I'm doing. You know, I always feel like I'm bothering someone and I don't like it. You know, I'd rather just send them a message and let them choose if they respond to me or not. The problem is that's not been working very well for me. And so I'm being challenged by this, that I tend to withdraw in those moments. I tend to just, you know, find other things to do and that sort of thing. But the calling is to scatter. Along with that process of sowing. You're sowing seeds. You're scattering them and you're burying them, right? You're getting them ready to be watered. So that concept of scattering yet increasing is hard for me. It is very difficult for me, but that is what it takes. And when it comes to spreading good in the world, it's the same thing. It really is. So it's a matter of, we need to not just be focused in on the people within our immediate presence that we're being, you know, spreading goodness to, spreading the good word to. We need to be scattering that, you know, and it is something that increases because of that. And just, we can get into semantics of the ins and outs of having a kind of a defined, you know, people you speak really intently to. That's a little bit different. In fact, I think a lot of the people don't realize that the more kind of honed in you get on who you talk to, the more you will be talking to them, which is something that's emerging that I'm actually going to God about. We'll probably need to do some fasting here soon to really discover what is the next path for what we're doing here. So I'm feeling that as well of needing to be a little more focused with my time with this. And so I'll let you know how that goes, but, or when that is. It's, you know, I'm still discerning that, but sometimes when you get more specific about who you're talking to, your language goes into that. So you're excluding some people. Yes. But by doing that, you actually scatter further, because now people know exactly who you are and it attracts more people to that. And so that will actually help you scatter more than that. So that is an increase in and of itself. It's kind of cool. But if you withhold, then it leads to poverty. Verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. No, will be watered also himself. This grammar is killing me. But another good word here, talking about sowing and reaping and the watering in between. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be upon the head of him who sells it. Okay. I think I had forgotten just how much Proverbs 11 has for me specifically, and how much, well, I think every entrepreneur needs to hear this, and every person who is looking to maybe sell what they're doing and that sort of thing, and they don't feel like it. Artists are really bad about this. Where they, I don't want to get into the whole money thing. I just want to create. Well, that causes them to withhold it from everyone else, and then just kind of becomes created, but just stays in the house. Doesn't ever go anywhere. So people curse him who holds the grain, but blessing on the will be upon the head of him who sells it. Not, interestingly enough, gives it away, but does the right thing and sells it. It's an interesting notion. It is of people appreciating it when you serve them and they exchange a value for that. there is a benefit here. And I think it's very important to remember that. I've given this piece of advice more than once. But it is that whole notion of if you don't, someone less qualified will, but what I'll say about this is if you don't, I was talking about this when I was talking to leaders, recently, but the concept is that if you don't make yourself available to guide people, and if you don't make yourself available in a case like this to charge for that value, then what will happen is that someone else that's less qualified will, or someone else who is, hear me on this, someone else who is not godly will. And I have been taken in by some of these folks. I have bought into, I've literally spent thousands of dollars with programs that is very clear that the person is not moral. Or if they are, they're not godly. They don't have that blessing upon them. You know, it's just that there's been a transaction made. And why did it happen? Because there wasn't someone that was walking in righteousness to offer that to me. And so, you know, it is one of those things where we need to be called and ready to serve. It's important. So if you are in a position like I am, it's very important not to withhold that. Just get it out there more. Hurts. It hurts for people like me, but it's actually what I need. Verse 27. He who diligently seeks good procures favor, but he who seeks mischief, it will come to him. He who trusts in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish as a branch. Yeah, I don't trust in that. I mean, there's a notion of this doesn't mean be fearful of it. It doesn't mean run away from wealth or having enough money. That's not what this is saying. It's saying if you trust in that, that will be for your fall. So don't put your trust in that. Make it, here's one way to say this. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, right? So what that means in that metaphor is that God's wealth is way past what we can imagine or count. So if we treat money as a resource that God has for us, that God is in charge of the increase of, then our trust becomes not in that money, that currency, whatever that looks like, not at all. Our trust stays in the one who's truly in control and has it all in his hands. That's who we trust in. And I'm not talking about the bankers. I'm not talking about the government that literally prints out the money in quantities that are upsetting, but not go there today. But there is a notion of true wealth and prosperity that is something that we are just called to be stewards of. We don't own it. And so if we trust in it, then we will fall because we don't have a foundation at that point. But if we trust in the one who puts that to us to maintain, very different. 29, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise at heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed in the earth, how much more the wicked and the sinner? All right. Well, I do hope that there was plenty that stood out to you as it obviously did to me. I appreciate you being with me here today. And yeah, and we actually went a little longer today than I was hoping to, but that's okay. Go be blessed by the best and then be a blessing to all the rest. And for today, happy Mother's Day to all of you that are mothers, or to all you that had a mother, make sure you're staying the same. That's everybody. All right, y'all. I will see you once again tomorrow. Bye now.
Before the earth was made, wisdom stood tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize. Guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise. A proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. It takes wisdom to get paid, to walk the right way, to make the right choices. Every single day, from the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind, Proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize. Guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Shut your lips like a vice. Show people you're wise. Get wise. Open your eyes. Read a chapter every day. You'll realize. Guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise. It's no surprise. A proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. In every verse, there's a lesson to learn. Let the words sink in. With every chapter, let the journey. Preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise. A proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise. So grab a new version of the book. Every month, a whole new look. Reading a chapter every day. Let the words of wisdom show you the way. Grab a new version of the book. Every month, a whole new look. Reading a chapter every day.